For the last several weeks, month or so, we've been on a study called Building Your House. Building Your House. And friend, I'm not talking about a physical house that somebody lives in with ceilings and walls and a garden outside. I'm not talking about that type of house. I'm talking about building your spiritual house. Building your spiritual life. And last week, we spoke on forgiveness. And, you know, let's say that you had contracted to build a house with a home builder. Let's say that you came into a lot of money and you wanted to build a brand new house. And let's say that you had certain things you wanted done on the house. And let's say that the workers on the house didn't do things exactly to your specifications. Maybe the shade of paint in a room was off, or maybe a light fixture was not exactly what you expected. And you know, if you start mouthing off at those workers and getting upset with them, guess what? Those workers may quit on you. It may halt the building of your physical house. And it's likewise in building our spiritual house, friend. And you know, as you go about life, people are going to say and do things that don't quite sit right with you. And if you take a seed of offense at something that somebody has said or done and plant it in the soil of your heart and nurture that seed of offense, think about it, talk about it, that seed of offense could become a root of bitterness. You know, if you allow a root of bitterness to grow up on the inside of you in your heart, it will halt, it can stop the building of your spiritual house, of your spiritual life. It can be detrimental to your spiritual life if you hold on to offense and unforgiveness. So you've got to uproot any bitterness with the instrument called forgiveness. Just like people use pickaxes or pointed shovels to uproot weeds, you've got to use the instrument called forgiveness to uproot any bitterness in your heart in Jesus' name. And you know, when you get weak and you feel that you can't do it on your own, cry out to God and say, God, I can't do this on my own. It's hard to forgive my offender, and God will give you His divine strength and empowerment. Amen? Amen? All right, this week we're going to talk about your network. Your network. Okay, we're talking about building your house, and the subtitle is Your Network. All right. Well, say that the workers on your house are stuck in some of the ways of the world. Say that the painters on this house that you're building, let's go back to that illustration of building this physical house. Let's say the painters are into alcohol and drugs, and say that there's some other workers, the people working on the electricity, are into immorality. Now, as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not going to start fellowshipping with those types of people, would you? Are you going to start befriending and fellowshipping and spending a lot of your spare time with people who are alcoholics and drug addicts and looking at things with their eyes they shouldn't be looking at? No, of course not, right? If you're a true follower of Christ. Remember this. We become like those that we hang around with. Should I say it again? You and I will become like the people that we hang around with. You know, those that you spend a lot of your free time with will either weaken or strengthen your relationship with Christ. Let me say it again. Those that you spend a lot of your free time with will either weaken or strengthen your spiritual house, your spiritual life. And a lot of people don't think about it this way, but it's very important in the people you're hanging around and dealing with if you're going to grow in your walk with Jesus Christ. If you're going to grow in God, you've got to be hanging around and fellowshipping with the right people. People who are stronger than you spiritually. Let's see what Paul the Apostle has to say about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18. If you've got a Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'll read it to you. He says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness?" He says, don't be yoked together with unbelievers, because those who are righteous and the wicked have nothing really in common, just like light and darkness have nothing in common. Say you're in a pitch dark room, 12 midnight, this room here, and it's pitch dark. You can't see anything. If you got a flashlight in your hand and you turn it on, guess what happens? The darkness is dispelled. The light and the darkness in a place cannot coexist. Amen? So he's using this as a comparison, and he's saying that righteousness, the righteous and the wicked, should not be able to coexist. The righteous and the wicked should not be fellowshipping and spending a lot of time together. Just like light and darkness cannot coexist, righteousness, those who are righteous and those who are not righteous, should not be able to coexist. They should not be able to have close, intimate ties. And he runs this comparison through the rest of 2 Corinthians 6. He says, what harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Belial is a false god. What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Verse 15. Verse 16, what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? And friends, you are that temple of God if Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord. It says, for we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Let me read that again. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. In verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 6. Now, here's a word of caution. If you're hanging around and fellowshipping with those who do drugs, those who are getting drunk, those who are immoral, those that are looking at things with their eyes they shouldn't be looking at, if you're hanging around those people and you're fellowshipping with them, and you don't get a check on the inside, you don't get uneasy on the inside and hanging around those people, you need to be concerned spiritually. Let me say it again. If you're hanging around with the wrong crowd, with the unrighteous crowd, those that are doing unholy things, and you feel comfortable with that, and you don't get uneasy on the inside, you don't have a check on the inside, you need to be spiritually concerned about your life. You need to ask yourself at that point, am I a true follower of Jesus Christ? Am I truly devoted to Christ? Because if there's people out there getting drunk and cussing and doing drugs and looking at things with their eyes they shouldn't be looking at, and you laugh along with them and you feel good doing it, you have no uneasiness, you need to ask yourself, am I really a devoted follower of Jesus Christ? You know, the answer might be you're really not, and that your spiritual house needs working on. Now, we've heard it in the world. There's a saying that goes like this, that birds of a feather flock together. Birds of a feather flock together. What does that mean to you? It means that those who are alike hang out. They find comfort in each other. So if you're hanging out with the wrong crowd and you feel good about it, you don't get uneasy, you need to be concerned. And God can help you in your walk with Christ. God can help you become uneasy and uncomfortable hanging around with the wrong crowd. Now, in the month of July, I had this guy working with me. He was former military, and he moved into my neighborhood about a year ago, maybe a little under a year ago. And just saying hi and bye to him, he seemed like a really nice guy. I was like, man, this is really a fine gentleman. Well, in my business, we work on people's homes in Tulsa. I was needing a hand in July. So he helped me part-time. And I'll tell you, friends, as he was helping me, man, I mean, every other word seemed like it was a cuss word, a four-letter word. And just the things he said, man, were just unbelievable. The way he joked was unbelievable. And I'm like, man, on the exterior, when I first met him about a year ago, he seemed like such a nice guy. But the more I got to know him, the more I worked with him, the more I figured out, man, this man is in the world. He really needs a relationship with Jesus Christ. And in my own human spirit, there was like an uneasiness, like a check in my spirit, like, you shouldn't be spending too much time with this individual, Jonathan, because right now this person is in the dark and you're in the light. We are followers of the light, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, say it with me today. I am a follower of the true light, Jesus Christ. And I don't need to be fellowshipping with darkness in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, a lot of times, friends, the bad rubs off on the good more easily than the good rubbing off on the bad. A lot of times, the bad will rub off on the good more so than the good rubbing off on the bad. That making sense? Let's say this on this grand piano right here. Let's say you're a follower of Christ and you're standing on this grand piano, okay? See that picture? You're standing up here. Your feet are on this piano. And let's say a person is down here in the ways of the world. You're a Christian. This person's in the ways of the world. You're locked arm in arm. This person is going to pull you down more easily, right, off the piano than you can pull them up onto the piano. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
Unless you're just a muscular Christian. Unless you're just cut and physically fit as a Christian. In other words, unless you're a really strong follower of Jesus Christ. And if you are, then maybe you can pull them up onto the piano with you. Amen? But the person down here who is below you spiritually, who is in the ways of the world, can more easily pull you off than you can pull them up. Amen? Is that making sense? Remember that illustration ends. It says in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 6, it says, "Therefore come out from them and be separate, says the Lord." In other words, you can't become intimate with the ungodly just as you would not become physically intimate with somebody who has HIV. Think about it that way. You should not become intimate in relationship with someone who is in the world just as you would not become intimate with somebody who is infected heavily with HIV. Why? Because you're going to end up getting that HIV most likely. See, if you're hanging out with those who are infected with the ways of the world and you're fellowshipping with them, guess what? They may infect you with their ways. They're going to pull you down and weaken your walk with Christ. Friends, the word of caution is this today. You need to be hanging out and fellowshipping with those who are stronger than you spiritually, who have a stronger walk with Almighty God. Is that making sense today? And then it's, you know, this includes those who are weaker than you spiritually, includes people at work, people that you might meet at work, people that you might meet here in downtown Tulsa. They may be just stuck in the ways of the world. You've got to come out, as the Word of God says, and be separate from them. Sad to say, a lot of times, you've also got to separate yourself at times from family members who may be stuck in the ways of the world. And it's hard to do sometimes, right? Because they're related to you. Your blood runs through them. Their blood runs through you. But if you're fellowshipping with them and they're stuck in the ways of the world and they're stronger in their ways than you are in the Christian ways, guess what? They're going to pull you down spiritually. And you don't want to be pulled off that piano, off that ledge, right? So start hanging out with those who are stronger than you. And then it says this at the end, "And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." How many here want to be a son and a daughter of God? How many here want to be a son and a daughter of God? 2 Corinthians 6, verse 18. "Then start hanging out with those who are righteous, who are living holy lives," as the Word of God says. Amen? Now, about a year and a half ago, I watched a movie. Maybe you might have seen it. It's called Touch the Top of the World. Anybody ever see Touch the Top of the World? Good movie. It's about an individual. It's a real story about a man named Eric Weinmeier. He was the first blind man to summit Mount Everest, the tallest mountain in the world. The first blind man, it was an awesome movie, Touch the Top of the World, about Eric Weinmeier, who was able to summit, the first blind man to summit Mount Everest. Isn't that amazing? That takes a lot of determination, doesn't it? But guess what? If you watch the movie, you'll see that Eric was surrounded by a good group of people. He had a good network. They were cheering him on. They were encouraging him. They were basically there for him, saying, "You can get to the top of this mountain." And eventually, by the end of the movie, you see that he gets to the very top of Mount Everest. Why? He was surrounded by the right people. How many here want to get to the top spiritually in your walk with God, in your prayer life? You know, in faith in God and so forth and so on. Well, surround yourself, like Eric did, with the right types of people. Is that making sense today? It will help your spiritual house. It will help your spiritual life. It will strengthen you spiritually on the inside. You might be wondering today, well, how in the world do I go about finding these people to hang around with? The right people, the strong Christians. Anybody here have any ideas where you can find strong Christians to build relationships with?
Church.
Okay, that's good. Church. Anybody else? Where can you find a network of stronger people than you spiritually? In this room right now, that's good. Church, you can go to little fellowship groups within a church. Church services, chapel services, you can get to know the chapel speakers a little bit, talk to them a little bit. God has got somebody out there for you, friends. All you have to do is pray and ask and say, God, I need somebody. I need a couple of people in my life who are stronger than me spiritually. God, I just pray that you cross my paths with those people. And friends, I guarantee it that if you pray that prayer, God will answer that prayer on your behalf. He will cross your path with the right and godly people. No doubt about it. So you can go to church services, you can go to Bible fellowship groups, you can go to these Bible studies, you can go to chapel services. There's so many different places where you can find a network of strong and godly people that have been where you are maybe today and that have overcome it and can help you overcome in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Making sense today? So there's several different avenues and places that you can go to. And you know, when you're associating with these people, you can study the Bible with them. How can they help you spiritually? How can those who are stronger than you spiritually help you spiritually? By what ways?
Talking about the Word.
Talking about the Word, that's good. Maybe you have a set time every week that you meet with this person and go through a chapter of the Scripture. You go through it line by line by line and talk about it and bounce it off that person, have that person give their input and just speak into your life. So studying the Word with someone who is strong spiritually, right? How about praying with someone who is stronger than you spiritually? Maybe having a set time every week where you meet with a prayer partner that prays with you. How about somebody that you can turn to in a time of need, spiritual need, a question that you have in your life? And that person can give you advice, godly and spiritual and Christ-like advice to help meet your need. See, but the key is finding those people, right? That you can do that with. And friends, I'm here to tell you that God will help you. You may be stuck in the wrong crowd right now, and it might be hard to break apart from that crowd. But God can give you the strength to take the step away, to dismiss yourself from that crowd and show you something better. Amen? Am I making sense today? He says it in His Word, "Come out and be separate from them, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you." How many here really want their spiritual house, their spiritual life to be strong, to be solid, you know, not to shake in the midst of a storm? Then start finding those who are stronger than you spiritually. And even the staff here at John 3:16, friends, there's staff here that you can build some type of relationship with, right? That you can bounce things off of, that you can get advice from, that you can cry with when you need somebody to cry with you, that you can laugh with when you need somebody to laugh with you. There's a great staff here at the mission that would love to do that with you. Amen? All right, so finding the right, the godly, and the spiritual network that God wants you to have. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say one final thing. I just want to say one final thing concerning this message. And it's this. I talked about the majority of your time. Let's say you have 10 hours to hang around with people during a week. Let's say you have 10 free hours to hang around with people during the week. The majority of your time should be used to fellowship with those who are stronger than you. So let's say 80 to 85% of those 10 hours should be used to fellowship and build relationship with those who are stronger than you spiritually. Making sense? So eight to eight and a half hours of the 10 hours you should be fellowshipping with strong, mature Christians. The other remaining time, 10 or 15%, like an hour to an hour and a half, you can use to reach out beyond yourself to those who are weaker than you spiritually and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. So I just wanted to make that distinction there, that we're not to ignore the ungodly, because the ungodly need Jesus Christ, and you may be the only Jesus they ever see. So with a portion of the free time you have during the week, yes, do step out beyond yourself and share Jesus Christ in deed and in word with those who are weaker than you spiritually. Does that make sense? But the majority of your free time that you have to spend with others should be spent with those who can really help you spiritually. Amen?